Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Picture this. You are like, you're sitting on your couch just scrolling through your feed after a long, exhausting day.
Right. Your brain is already tired.
Exactly. Hmm. And suddenly, you see this post about a local factory dumping chemicals into the exact river you grew up near. There's a grainy photo, maybe a couple of leaked documents, and, you know, the caption is written exactly the way your neighbors talk.
It's designed to hit on every single anxiety you have about your community.
Yeah. You feel that immediate visceral knot in your stomach, your blood pressure spikes, and without even really thinking about it, you hit share.
But what you don't realize is that in that fraction of a second, you didn't just share a post. You actually just became an active weapon in a militarized cognitive war.
Which perfectly sets the stage for what we are unpacking today. Welcome to this special edition deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one. It's an incredibly important topic.
It really is. And today's exploration is actually presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, which is a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
Yeah, and their approach is fascinating because they don't just stare at jagged lines of code all day.
Right. They combine OSINTSO open source intelligence with HUMINT, which is human intelligence evidence. That means they investigate cyber activities by doing this deep, contextual, informational, and emotional and geopolitical analysis of cyber threats.
Because the most dangerous payloads today, they aren't executable files. They are weaponized narratives. We're specifically looking at a phenomenon called manipulated fakativism.
Manipulated fakativism. So just to break that down for you listening, this is this toxic blend of fake news and digital activism.
Right. But it's not just someone making up a lie out of thin air, because those are easy to spot.
Exactly. The really dangerous part is that they use real, verifiable facts. They just hijack them, cherry pick the data, or, you know, twist the context entirely to manipulate public opinion.
The word manipulate almost feels too passive here. I mean, this is behavioral engineering. And to understand how this hacking works, we first have to look at the reconnaissance phase.
Because before an attacker ever launches one of these fakativist campaigns, they have to scout the battlefield, right?
Precisely. And in this domain, that scouting process relies heavily on something called SOMINT, or social media intelligence.
I want to pause there for a second, because when I hear social media intelligence, I instantly picture like a massive server farm, just some black box AI scraping millions of tweets and spitting out data on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, that is a really common misconception, but it misses the actual threat entirely.
Right.
When we talk about SOMINT in cognitive warfare, the heavy lifting isn't done by AI correlations. It's done by specialized human investigators.
Wait, humans? I mean, I have to challenge that. We live in the AI era. Why would a sophisticated threat actor rely on human investigators to just scroll through Facebook groups?
It sounds incredibly inefficient, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a waste of time.
It does, until you realize what they are actually looking for. An algorithm can tell you that a hashtag is trending, but it doesn't intrinsically understand the emotional weight of a local tragedy.
Ah, I see. It doesn't get the nuance.
Exactly. It doesn't grasp the subtle irony in a community's inside jokes or, you know, the deep-seated grievances a specific political faction has held for years. Human investigators immerse themselves in highly polarized networks.
So they are studying the culture.
Yes. They extract the exact local slang, the specific vocabulary, and the precise outrage triggers of that group. They are mapping out society's psychological fault lines.
So they aren't even looking at what is objectively true or false. They are basically casing the joint. It's like a burglar who doesn't just smash a window. They spend weeks sitting across the street figuring out exactly which window is left unlocked and what time the dog goes to sleep.
This is a very apt way to visualize it. Mm. They build a psychological profile of a target demographic so they can perfectly calibrate the attack.
But, I mean, having the cultural vocabulary is only half the battle. Knowing my local slang doesn't really matter if I don't actually click the link. How do they take that reconnaissance and force me to react?
They do it by exploiting the fundamental architecture of human thought. And this brings in the work of Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman.
Oh, I know this one. Kahneman famously divided human thought into two systems, right?
Yeah, system one and system two.
Right. So system one is our fast, emotional, instinctual brain. It's the part that physically jumps when we hear a loud noise. And system two is our slow, critical, analytical brain.
Precisely. System two is the one that does complex math or carefully fact checks a source. But here is the key detail. System 2 requires significant cognitive energy and time to boot up.
You have to actively engage it.
Exactly. And manipulated fakeivism is entirely designed to trigger a System 1 override.
I don't know if I buy that it works on everyone, though. Like, think about the last time you saw a post that made your blood boil instantly. Did you pause to verify it? I'd like to think I usually do. If I see a wild graph about taxes, my alarms go off.
You spot the bad tax graph because taxes, as a subject, naturally engage your analytical brain. You are already in a System 2 mindset.
Oh, that makes sense.
But what if they don't target your logic? Going back to your earlier example, what if they target a photo of the playground where your kids play?
Right, something deeply personal.
They take a real statistic about a recent crime, a true fact, but they strip away all the context. They add a terrifying headline using your exact local slang, framing it as an immediate threat to your family.
They hit you with massive emotional shock.
Yes. Because System 2 takes time to verify the context, the sheer emotional urgency forces it to just shut down. The critical thinking is completely bypassed.
Wow. So they wrap this tiny kernel of truth in a massive layer of manufactured panic. You don't pause to verify it, you just react.
You react because your instinctual brain honestly believes you are in immediate danger.
But let's play this out, right? Let's say they get me in the moment, I get furious, System 1 takes over, and I share the post. But eventually, doesn't our logical brain catch up and correct the record a day or two later?
In a healthy information ecosystem, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But these attackers don't just want a momentary reaction. They want to trap you in a loop before logic can kick in.
Trap you how?
By weaponizing behavioral design. Specifically, a framework known as Near-Eel's Hook Model.
The Hook Model. I've read about this with Silicon Valley. Tech companies use it to make acts addictive, right? To keep us endlessly scrolling.
Yes. And that exact methodology has been militarized by fakeitists. It operates in a four-step cycle. First, you have the trigger.
Which is that highly polarizing emotional fake leak we just talked about.
Exactly. The payload crafted by those human investigators. That prompts step two, which is the action.
Sharing the post.
Right. And platforms have removed all friction from this. It takes zero effort to hit retweet or share. Then comes step three, the reward.
Because nobody shares something just to scream into the void.
No, you get an artificial flood of social validation from your online tribe. Hundreds of likes, supportive comments. It's an intoxicating sense that you are part of a special group that knows the real truth.
It delivers a massive dopamine hit. Your brain chemically rewards you for spreading the manipulation.
Which leads to the fourth and most insidious step, investment.
Investment. I usually think of that like spending money or maybe spending hours building a profile. What kind of investment is this?
Psychological investment. By sharing and commenting, you have publicly aligned your identity with this narrative. So when your friend shows up a day later with a fact check, proving the post was manipulative.
Oh, I see. Admitting I was tricked causes cognitive dissonance. It's psychologically painful.
Exactly. Your brain hates that feeling. So to protect your own ego, you double down. You actively defend the fake narrative.
So we are essentially building our own cognitive prisons. We click for the dopamine hit of social approval, and without realizing it, we become active soldiers defending a manipulated narrative just to protect our egos.
The attackers have successfully turned the victim into an active participant.
But wait, let me pull on a thread here. For that tribal reward to feel good, you need a massive crowd cheering you on. If I share an angry post and it only gets 2 likes, I'm not building a cognitive prison.
No, you aren't.
I need hundreds of people validating my outrage. Where are they getting the crowd from? What if the crowd isn't real?
That is the crucial missing link. And it brings us to the terrifying scale of generative AI and bot networks, which threat analysts call cyborgs.
Cyborgs. It sounds like a sci-fi movie, but we are talking about today's digital reality, aren't we?
Very much today's reality. And we've moved past the days of primitive bots spamming identical text, like vote for this person over and over.
Right. Those are easy to detect.
Exactly. Today, attackers use large language models, or LLMs. These can generate thousands of semantically unique comments. And because of that initial CIMINT reconnaissance, they are tailored to perfectly mimic local slang and culture.
Give me a concrete example. How good is this mimicry?
Instead of a bot saying, the economy's bad, the LLM will generate something like, man, I just paid $80 for 2 bags of groceries down at the local market. This is getting ridiculous, y'all.
That is chilling. It reads like genuine human fatigue.
Now multiply that by thousands. When a user engages with a fake Yetivist post, these cyborg swarms immediately like and reshare their comment. They swarm the section to create a massive, artificial illusion of social consensus.
Astroturfing. It looks like a grassroots movement, but it's entirely synthetic.
It overwhelms your brain with fake proof that everyone agrees with this.
If an AI can perfectly mimic my local slang and generate a fake grassroots movement in minutes, how can we possibly trust any consensus we see online?
That is exactly the point. Destroying trust is actually the ultimate goal here.
Wait, really? The goal isn't just to make me believe the fake story.
No. They don't necessarily need you to believe the lie. They just need you to stop believing the truth.
That is a dark distinction. What happens when we stop believing the truth?
It leads to what researchers like Hani Farid call the liar's dividend.
The liar's dividend? Who is collecting that dividend?
Corrupt entities. When a society is saturated with AI fakes and manipulated faketivism, a state of epistemic nihilism sets in. People become so exhausted they just assume everything is manipulated.
It's like a computer virus that doesn't just corrupt your files. It destroys your antivirus software so you can't even recognize what a clean file looks like anymore. We just give up on the concept of truth.
Yes. And the terrifying consequence is when real, verified evidence of corruption or danger is leaked by genuine whistleblowers.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Corrupt entities can simply claim, oh, it's an AI deepfake.
Mm.
And because fakes are so common, the public believes the denial. It renders real truths indefensible and literally paralyzes democracy.
The bad guys get a free pass because we are too exhausted to care. That is, that's incredibly bleak. But I refuse to leave the listener in a state of doom and gloom.
Good, because there is hope.
We know how they use SOS-MINT, System 1, the Hook model, and cyborgs. How do we, as individuals, actually fight back and regain control?
We can defend ourselves using something called cognitive inoculation. This was developed by researchers like John Cook.
Inoculation, so like a mental vaccine.
Exactly. Just like a physical vaccine exposes you to a weakened virus, cognitive inoculation exposes your brain to weakened versions of manipulation tactics.
So by learning to recognize cherry picking or false urgency, our brains build mental antibodies.
Yes. You learn to resist the real attacks. And practically, this looks like adopting the SOS VRAF method. It's a simple 5-step checklist for citizens.
Okay, let's break that down. Step 1.
Check the source. Don't just look at the headline, who is actually saying this. Step 2. Ensure the facts are complete. Are you seeing the full context, or is it cherry-picked?
Right, because stripping context is their main weapon. Step 3.
Look for contradictory evidence. Force yourself to search for the opposite claim. Just doing that engages your critical system 2 brain.
Got it. Step 4.
Ask who profits. Who actually benefits from you feeling terrified or divided in this exact moment?
Usually the person screaming at you to share the post.
Exactly. And finally, step 5. Balance emotion versus reason. If it makes you furious instantly, step back. Institute a mandatory pause before you share.
So we aren't powerless. We just need to upgrade our mental software. By practicing this SOS VRAF method, we starve the attackers of the emotional clicks they need to survive.
We deny them the behavioral data they require to keep the cycle running.
That is so empowering. To summarize this deep dive, we started with human investigators mapping our minds with SOS-MINT. We saw how faketivism hijacks our system 1 instincts, traps us in dopamine loops with AI bot swarms, and, you know, threatens the very concept of truth through the liar's dividend.
But we also learned how to build our mental immune system.
Exactly. Before we sign off, do you have a final thought to leave the listener with?
I do. It draws from sociologist Shoshana Zuboff's concept of behavioral surplus. Every time you pause in a sensational image, every time you angrily type a comment, you are emitting a digital signal.
You're creating data.
Yes. So I ask you to ponder this. Are you unwittingly handing over the exact behavioral data that these cognitive engineers will use to design the very trap you'll fall into tomorrow?
Wow.
The next time you feel an urgent need to click, ask yourself who is really pulling the strings.
Who is pulling the strings? That is a brilliant place to end. We have to remember that in this cognitive war, the firewall isn't a piece of software. The firewall is you. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.